everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable, episode 151. Today we are going to be talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 2, episodes 11, Ted, and 12, Bad Eggs. As usual, if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. You can find us on this post on Hypeable.com or any of our other Buffy-centric posts, or you can visit us at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. I'm Karen. I'll be your lead host today, and I am joined by Natalie, Kristen, and Brittany. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Natalie comes in from the back. Just a little delay. That's okay. So Britt and Kristen and I are kind of, you know, coming down from the live episode that we just did. Unfortunately, Natalie couldn't make it, but it was good and disastrous and amazing, as nearly every rewatchable episode
delightful,
is.
Delightful, so, not disastrous.
It feels disastrous when you have plans and then all those plans go out the window. But we baked things. I had props. There were jokes. Mm-hmm. And
oh, my God. I missed a freaking party.
Like, we talked about Avatar a lot.
No one filled me in on the fact that this was a live stream. Can I just say, I never got that. No one directly came to me and said, Natalie, here's what's going to happen and here's what you have to do. And
it was in the group. Nothing.
Yeah, but
there
like
were multiple messages.
No, not direct enough, in my opinion.
You were
anyway,
tagged.
I couldn't make a cake. I've made a cake for a podcast before.
This is true. Well, anyway, it was super fun. You should go watch the live stream because we're pretty great. I was saying that to Natalie and also the listeners who maybe haven't yet, but it was 3 years, 150 episodes. It was kind of a big deal and it was lots of fun. So very thankful we got to do that. But now we're on episode 151, and to kick it off, we're going to do some fun facts. I will start and say that, like I just said, my name is Karen, and for the live episode, Kristen and I made a little Eggbert. We have a bowl and a towel and an egg sitting in the towel, just like Eggbert, and it's currently still sitting on my desk. And I'm really hoping that it doesn't move at any point throughout this podcast. Brittany, do you want to go next?
Sure. I didn't have a fun fact for the live stream, and I still don't have a fun fact for this one.
Come on, your whole life is fun, Brittany.
Oh, thank you. I grabbed some food in between the live stream and this, in the 5 minutes I had to spare, and I'm jazzed to talk about my love of John Ritter for a little while.
Did you grab a cookie?
We did not have any cookies, but I got some marble pound cake, so that'll have to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Cool. Kristen, what's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that if you watch the live stream, you will see that Karen and I look very lovely, and we, like, did our hair, and we were very, yeah. But I was actually wearing my Hula Girl pajama pants the entire time.
Ah.
So, comfort and...
I put on real pants, you know, for the live stream.
There was no real pants, no. They were the pajama pants all the way.
Ah, man. I was like, well, if I'm going this far, I'm going to put on some real pants.
I was wearing sweats, but I had Firefly t-shirt on and put, like, a jacket over it. Like, there was a whole wardrobe change thing going on midway through. Not a change, just an addition.
God.
It was intense. It was really – we put a lot of thought into this. Natalie, what's your fun fact?
I'm not wearing any pants. I woke up in time for the live stream, saw that it was a live stream and not just a recording that we were doing, and I was like, yeah, there's no way that that's going to happen. Like, I was like, yeah, that's – it would take me half an hour or more to actually get dressed and figure out how to get into Google Hangout, which changes literally every time I try to use it. Yeah. And, yeah, because I usually wear podcast in no pants and – whatever shirt that I slept in, because I usually do it directly after waking up. So,
okay. I've been podcasting with you for 3+ years and I never knew this.
I've got underwear on, but I have also definitely podcasted wearing no clothes. Just so you know. That might be a bit too much for everyone. So it's a good thing that it's not a live stream. Like, I really do just, like, roll out of bed and do it. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, on that note.
Was that a TMI fun fact?
That was. But you know what? I wouldn't edit it out of the podcast for the world unless you told me to.
No, it's fine. I promise that I have, like, some sort of pants on now. Maybe not, like, I wouldn't necessarily open the door to someone in what I'm wearing right now, but I'd walk around the hotel room in it, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. Okay, well, awesome. Let's talk about Ted.
I really don't want him to see me in no pants.
Ooh, yeah, that would be weird. Okay, so episode 11 was Ted, and in this episode, John Ritter is a terrifying skeez who uses cookies to drug Buffy's mother into loving him. Buffy accidentally, on purpose, kills him and feels really bad about it, like, oops. But then, good news, he was a robot all along. Meanwhile, love is in the air as Giles and Jenny get back together, and Cordy and Xander keep their forbidden passion in the closet. Okay, first of all, as I've said multiple times before, but we'll continue saying, I would have gotten next week's pair of episodes had Selena not needed to skip a week and I didn't have to, like, pull double duty earlier. So kind of bummed that I was planning for the next two episodes, but then I got 10 bad eggs. But it's okay because I'm actually kind of excited to talk about these because they're kind of
questionable.
Yes, and Buffy fans don't necessarily come back to these to talk about them. I feel like I tend to get these episodes a lot, which is interesting. Because I got Puppet Show 2 and, yeah, some of those other ones. But my legitimate serious question about Ted, this episode in particular, is, and I want to throw this to you first, Natalie, is this a bad episode? Quality-wise, is this a bad episode, or do we just hate Ted and the things that he does? Because I found myself throughout this episode blood boiling. I got so mad. Like, every time he said little lady, I wanted to, like, punch a kitten. I was so angry.
Oh my gosh. That's the most violent thing I've ever heard Karen say.
Okay. Before now, I might have said, before now, if I hadn't just watched the episode, I would have said, oh, yeah, that's a bad episode, or I hate that episode. Upon watching it, I actually think it is a very good episode that it is so just so vile that you hate it, if you know what I mean. I don't know if it's, like, maybe there is an – I don't know, maybe there are aspects of it that's bad. Maybe it doesn't, like, fit with what the show is meant to be. But I both hate Ted and, at this point, Joyce so much that – the episode is vile, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I really didn't want to dislike Joyce. I hadn't really actually thought about her before, but now it's really bugging me. And we'll get to that soon because she says some things in this episode that I was really angry about. But starting off with Brittany and then Kristen, what did you think of this episode? Did you hate it as much as maybe we initially thought you would, or do you see merits in it as well?
I definitely did not like it at all. And I've said this to a couple of people. I think it's really because I love John Ritter was one of, like, he was my first celebrity death. It was hard to watch him in this. I was obsessed with 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter when I was, like, in my younger years. Like, loved it. Probably could watch it today. I still really can't go back to watch the episodes that he's in because it was the first, like, time where I'd, like, watch someone religiously on television, like, every day after school. And then he just died of a heart attack, and they had an episode. They had to write him off the show, and his last line was so powerful on the show because they killed him off on that show, and it was so hard to watch. So seeing him here, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to watch John Ritter. So already going in, I was dreading it. And then he played Ted, the most awful human being ever. And I think one of my least favorite, like, plot points in any television show, and every show should do this because it showcases what happens all the time, is when a parent starts redating. They make me very uncomfortable, and I don't like watching them when I'm older because you're seeing the parents' perspective. I didn't like watching them when I was younger because you're seeing the kids' perspective of this person coming into their home and trying to, make themselves like seem nice and good and like try and get along with everyone around them. For the same reason, I didn't like that episode of Freaks and Geeks where the coach takes them all go-karting. There's just something about these storylines that just makes me generally uncomfortable. So combine that with John Ritter, I did not have a good time during Ted. Had those two factors not been in play, I agree with Natalie in regards to Joyce. I didn't like the way Joyce was behaving in this episode. And to be honest, I kind of don't. My opinion changed of her in the next episode, which we'll get to. So yeah, this episode was just hard all around, but it did give us some pretty good Xander moments, which are always appreciated to lighten the mood.
Yeah, Ted. I honestly don't know. I don't think I had a very strong reaction to this episode either way. Like, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It seemed like it was a well-made episode. I liked what Buffy went through after killing Ted. And I liked seeing her, be affected by that. And, since I seemed to know that Buffy hadn't killed him, I assumed that he wasn't human, something was, I knew something was up, so I wasn't worried, but I liked seeing that Buffy was remorseful about it, and that it really affected her, outside of just interacting with her mother, and trying to make sure her mother understood that she didn't try to kill him, even at school, removed from her mother, you could see that it was affecting her, so I liked what it did for Buffy. I liked what this episode did for me as far as how I saw Buffy, but besides that, it was kind of touch and go. I hated Ted, but you're supposed to hate Ted, so the character, not the episode. So yeah, I guess I don't really have strong feelings either way.
Okay. Speaking of the character though, and I would also like to bring up that Ariana has said that this is one of her favorite episodes so far, and she really liked it because of the more human aspect, which is something I'm really interested in and can definitely see. And she's asking us, did anyone see Ted's point, at least at first, that Buffy's mother doesn't set enough boundaries for her, and she seems kind of oblivious to, what is actually going on in Buffy's life? And I guess, Natalie, this is kind of I don't know. It's a little bit of both. Part of me is yeah, I see that. The other part is well, Buffy keeps so many secrets from her. But this is another reason why I have trouble connecting with Joyce, because I feel like she writes her daughter off so many times when she's obviously a really incredible person. Clearly, she doesn't know everything that's going on, but I would like to think that you can still tell the type of person somebody is, even if they're keeping these kind of secrets from you.
Yeah, what bothers me about Joyce is obviously she doesn't know what's going on with Buffy, but she jumps so quickly to think the worst of her. And I mean, yes, fine, you're in the middle of the room, dressed to go out and stuff, which I think that's in Bad Eggs, actually, not in this one, is okay, suspicious. But what about Buffy's personality? Does Joyce just think her daughter is this, crazy liar? I just don't understand what she thinks of her to make her feel like this. And obviously Buffy's not quite good enough at covering it up or whatever. And at this point, I'm not sure if you guys have discussed on any episodes, if Willow and Xander and stuff are allowed to know, why Joyce doesn't know, if you know what I mean. Why is it they're choosing to keep this from Joyce when a good handful of other people know? But yeah, I don't know. I think she is too harsh on her, not for the behaviors, I guess, not for the things that she ends up seeing Buffy happen with Buffy, but yeah, just not trusting her attitude. How does she like, does she literally think her daughter is a worse person than she actually is? And how must that make Buffy feel to know that her mother, like, because she's keeping this secret from her mother, which is a fairly big secret and a lie, you know, in some ways, but for the greater good or whatever, that her mother thinks she's this really shitty person. Like, that really sucks. And I don't like that Joyce doesn't give her the benefit of the doubt just based on her personality.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And part of me really wants to see the, like, Joyce's side of the story, because she's a single mother. Obviously, there's still some awkwardness between her and her ex-husband. And she just moved to a new town. Like, Buffy has clearly made some pretty big mistakes in her past. But at the same time, like, yeah, she has this attitude toward Buffy. Like, she never tries. She never does anything right. She doesn't try to really understand where Buffy is coming from. And I feel like she assumes, like, oh, everything's always life and death for, you know, you at 16. And it's just a really dismissive attitude. Like, I grew up, my mom was a single mother. Like, my dad was still in the picture, but he was, you know, kind of out of town and stuff like that. And it was just me and my mom, and we had a really great relationship. And even though you're always going to butt heads, like, my mom still got me, and, like, she still praised me when I needed to be praised and that sort of thing. And the fact that Joyce constantly not only nags Buffy, which I get is, like, totally a mom thing to do, but just I feel like she doesn't put forth the effort to really get to know her. And that frustrates me, because they could have a really great relationship. Even if Joyce doesn't know that Buffy's the Slayer, it could be a really great opportunity to showcase a mother-daughter relationship that's super strong. And they haven't gone in that direction. And I won't say whether or not they will, but it is very frustrating to see it like that this early on. But newbies, do you have any other thoughts about Joyce and her mothering technique?
I mean, I feel for Buffy, because I think Buffy wants to tell Joyce everything, but because she can't, just by the nature of being the Slayer, it's put this roadblock between her and Joyce. And I think it was a few weeks ago, was it? I don't remember. But there have been a couple of scenes between them where you're just like, oh, when she buys her the dress for the dance, like, you know, there are those scenes that you just want more of, because you, like, feel their connection. And it just can't happen by the nature of her being the Slayer. And there's always going to be that one thing standing in the way of them. And when Spike first appeared and they had that whole thing in the school, the fact that she didn't see anything, I was hoping that finally they would be like, okay, like, this is where they're going to tell Joyce that Buffy's the Slayer and their relationship is going to change. It's all going to be good. But the fact that they can't, it's frustrating, because I want to like Joyce, but I want to like Buffy, but also, like, I understand the need for them to not be able to bridge that gap between them.
Yeah, and in this episode, you saw Joyce keeping just as many secrets as Buffy keeps. Like, you saw her keeping all these secrets about Ted and what she and Ted have been up to and all of that. And so seeing that her and Buffy have a lot in common, like, they're not so different personality wise and to see that Joyce, like, immediately always goes to the worst case scenario with Buffy, just, yeah, it wears on you, because it's like you have to see that you guys are somewhat similar. Like, think about how you were as a teenager. Like, remember that Buffy's got a lot more on her plate that Joyce doesn't know about, but from Joyce's perspective, you know, like, you'd hope that she would find a little more patience for Buffy. Granted, she's burned down a school gym. Yeah. like you can see where there are places where she has to think the worst, but, you know, to constantly be doing that does wear a bit.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to, you think that parents always want to believe the best in their children, and when Joyce fairly consistently, I mean, there are some exceptions, like School Heart, I really enjoyed their arc in that episode when Spike first came in. Joyce just doesn't really do that often, doesn't believe the best in Buffy. And it is frustrating, partly because we know what she's really going through, but just also because you just want them to have a good relationship. Buffy's the hero. You want all of her relationships in her life to be significant and on good terms. And when it, you know, episode after episode, you're getting the same kind of Joyce berating Buffy, it does get frustrating. But hopefully that will change. We'll have to wait to see. But one thing that I saw on this rewatch that Kristen can attest to that I freaked out over because I had never noticed it before was, first of all, when things got real dark and real, because Buffy was like, I want to kill myself, when Joyce asked her how she felt about their relationship and the potential of it moving into something more. And the way she said that was like, it stops you in your tracks, first of all. But secondly, the scene directly after that, Buffy had gone out her window and gotten on the swing, and they pan up from her boots inches off the ground and then up to her face, and she's sitting on the swing. I had never noticed before, but like,
I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like she's hanging. And I was like, clearly they did that on purpose.
Well, I did not notice that. You're probably right, though. But I was so, that was one of my least favorite things of Joyce, that she says that and she punishes her for that. Like, how dare you talk to Ted like that, as opposed to being like, wow, my daughter, whether she means that or not, she's having something really freaking massive go on with this, and I should probably address that. The fact that she punished her for saying that is like everything that's wrong with society, basically.
Yeah, that was not A-plus parroting. But so you guys didn't notice that at all about the way they set up that shot? It was really surprising to me, and I'd never noticed it before, but I was like, they just did that. And it, I mean, obviously I know what's coming, but my heart jumped a little bit. I was like, what is this? So, okay, cool. I'll be interested to know if the listeners know anything about that. All right, so I guess jumping into the meat of the episode is that Buffy does end up killing Ted. And did you, newbies in particular, we'll go Kristen and then Brittany this time, were you expecting this? Did you think that this was how it was going to go? And did you expect it, because obviously it's before the reveal of what Ted really is, did you expect her to have to deal with the potential of, like, killing a human being?
Okay. So when she and Ted start fighting in her room, like, he hits her first and she hits him back and that continues. But then as soon as they leave her room, he doesn't hit her back. She hits him and then she hits him again and then she hits him again. And it's like he knew that Joyce was watching and stopped hitting back. So first of all, I was going, Buffy, stop. Like, Buffy, stop. Like, you can't keep hitting him without getting the retaliation or your mother's going to think you, like, lost it. Like, that was my initial reaction. And then she hits him and he falls down the stairs. And I couldn't help but, like, watching him fall down the stairs, that was the gentlest tumble down a staircase I've ever seen on television. Like, he didn't hit his head on anything. He, like, I've fallen down the stairs more violently than Ted.
Whoa, really?
Yes. In high school, I went head over feet down a staircase with my lunch in my hand.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Like my eye was bleeding because I hit it on the stair.
I'm upset. I'm so upset.
So, I have fallen more violently down a staircase than Ted did, and I survived. So I was a little surprised that he died. He's laying at the bottom of the stairs, and Joyce is like, comes to his aid and then says he's dead. And I'm like, no, he's not. Like, there's no way. So I couldn't believe that he was actually dead. Once I accepted that that was the reality of the show, like, that's what was happening, I was kind of shocked that they went there and that Buffy killed a human. Like, that seems, you know, like, it was interesting that this early on the show, because it's just the middle of season two, they're already the difference between Buffy killing vampires and killing monsters and now Buffy having taken a human life. Like, that seems like a really dark tone to take. And so I was really shocked about that. Come to find out later, you know, they hadn't gone that dark, but they did kind of at the same time. So, yeah, just a very abrupt, crazy scene for me.
I was also surprised that they went there. I was like, oh, no, Joyce is wrong. Like, he's not actually dead. She just doesn't know how to find a pulse. but then when they went there, I was like, this is the potential to be really interesting, like setting up this contrast between like, yeah, I go out every night and I kill things to, yeah, I got into a fight with this guy who's seeing my mother and I took his life. Like, would she stop being the slayer? What could possibly happen here? Like, there has to be real consequences. I get living on the Hellmouth and seeing like, you know, people die every week has like some effect on these people, but actually being the one responsible for taking a human life is a completely different, area that the show's going to explore. But like Kristen was saying, during the actual fight, I was so frustrated. Like, I was just, like, Karen, you were mentioning earlier, like, that's the best way to describe it. Like, inside of me was like boiling. I was like, this is horrible to watch. Like, I don't want to see her being set up in this way because he is a master manipulator, and just like, you want to be Buffy and you want to be like physically hurting Ted because that's all that's left. He like has no emotions literally because he's a robot. We don't know that at this point. Like, it, nothing you say to this guy will like change anything. So the only other action you can see is to physically hurt him, and that's what she's trying to do. And it's, the whole thing is just horrible to watch. And I guess that kind of makes it a good episode because it sparks some sort of real emotion in one regard. And to watch her have to deal with the fallout of all of this, it was interesting to see, but at the same time, I also didn't want to actually watch the episode.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it coming out of the episode, is like, I don't rewatch this episode a lot, like, if ever. Maybe if I'm doing, you know, a complete episode-to-episode rewatch. Also, I wouldn't, even at this point, would not go back and voluntarily watch it. But it's not necessarily because it's a bad episode. It's because it makes me so angry. I don't... It's like, it's so good at being that awful that you can't bring yourself to watch it. It just makes me really uncomfortable.
It was hard to watch. So that, I don't know if that necessarily makes it a bad episode or if it actually makes it a great episode, because you know what it is, you know what it's going to do, you know the type of emotion that's going to be elicited physically from you by watching this. So like, there's no need to go back and rewatch it because it sticks with you. Like, I think at the end of Buffy, when we end up talking about, like, what are some moments that stuck out, I will probably say Ted. And that's saying something about the episode.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I guess on that note, like, do you wish that Ted had actually been a human being versus a monster? Because clearly that would have made a huge impact. But on the other hand, it makes it a little bit more, like, it's almost too real for Buffy, and it's easier that, okay, in the end, it was like, you know, he was an actual robot that, and it kind of doesn't make as much of a difference that she killed him. I don't like saying that, but you get what I mean.
Yeah, no, I think he had to be a robot because it, first of all, like, Kristen brought up a great point. We're just halfway through season two, and I think that that would have changed the show in a way that they couldn't brush that off later on. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, but remember that time you actually killed a guy who wasn't anything? Like, that was a horrible thing you did. Like, I feel like him being a robot gave her just enough of a dose of reality. Not that she needed it. Like, I'm not, I feel like when I phrase it that way, it's like, oh, well, she deserved a healthy dose of reality. Because she definitely doesn't. Her life is so far from anything I could imagine having to deal with. That she definitely didn't need that, but it's something that kind of like shook her in a way that having an evil master or this evil group of vampires doesn't. I don't know. I feel like I'm belittling Buffy's problems and I'm really not trying to. But I think it's just something different that is just added to her plate at this point in a way that like, okay, but at the end of the day, we can just say like, thank goodness he is out of the picture and he was a robot and not a real mm-hmm. human being. Because then you have to deal with the whole mother thing that would be introduced because of this, too. And we're already having a hard time with Joyce, and that would have made things a lot more difficult to deal with as a viewer, personally. Like, I wouldn't know how to go into the next episode knowing that this now exists permanently between Joyce and Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ted and Ted's presence in right now was enough to just give Buffy a glimpse into what she could be. Like, what if she stepped over the line, if she did, you know, took a life that wasn't supernatural and threatening her friends slash the world, she could be this, you know, vengeful, angry killer. Like, she is capable of that because of her strength and because of, you know, her slayer skills and abilities. So I feel like that's an important thing for us to take a glimpse at. I'm so glad that there was a way out of it, because, yeah, seeing Buffy take a human life right now would have changed the show in a lot of ways. So I'm glad that Ted was a robot. I'm glad that she was defending her mother from something that, you know, it kind of falls under her, you know, her checklist, like, you know, kill giant praying mantis, kill vampires, kill robot. So, like, I'm really, really glad, but I think it was a very important thing for Buffy to see, as well as for everyone else to see her struggle with, is that this is how it would feel if you took a human life. Like, you have, you know, now she's aware of that, and I think will be more careful, and she will be affected by this in the long run.
The police handling of it, the actual scene with the police, you know, where she goes and gets interviewed and stuff like that, and ultimately she isn't charged, but her kind of reaction to that is kind of what sold me on the episode, and the way that the guy was, you know, the kind of nasty attitude of the questioning attitude of, you know, trying to get her to trip up, I guess, like in the way that police inquiries sometimes do. That's what really sold me on the episode, honestly.
It made me so angry.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, it's meant to. It really is meant to. And I think that's why a lot of people don't like this episode, because it does elicit, like you were saying, Brittany, those emotions in you that just make you really violent. It
doesn't make you feel maybe good. Me.
No, yeah. It doesn't. So it's not an enjoyable episode, but important nonetheless. And I guess before we get to actually the happier parts of the episode, one more question for you, Natalie, is this episode in particular highlights Buffy's ability to kind of like read people, understand them, know their motivations kind of intuitively, because she did not like Ted. And clearly she wasn't, you know, eating his food like the others were, and they were kind of swept up into his persona. But I feel like that's so interesting and kind of throws back to season one, where Buffy could just be like, oh, that guy's a vampire because, you know, he's wearing terrible clothes. And it's something that really comes easily to her. And it almost makes me wonder why people don't trust her more. And I realize, like, I was getting really frustrated with Xander because he was like, Ted is the best. And yes, it was the drugs, but even Joyce, like, I would think that after all of these years, she would be aware of Buffy's ability to kind of like see the truth in people. And the fact that she just did not want to listen to Buffy at all, who actually wasn't being like a temperamental child when she said, I really don't like him. She just totally dismissed that. And that was another thing that pissed me off.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, she is good at, you know, she's very, I don't know, empathetic, Buffy, and she does generally get these things. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, Joyce doesn't give her enough credit for anything. You know, she doesn't necessarily have any reason to think that her daughter is some sort of, like, expert in, you know, malicious behavior and stuff. But I don't know. Yeah, I do think that it was a bit dismissive to not trust her. It's the second episode of Bad Eggs. I've got many more angry things to say about Joyce in Bad Eggs. But, yeah, at this point, not great. I don't know. It's I guess, like, the cookie situation, like, my understanding is that it was, you know, he puts the stuff in the food that makes people feel good where they're around him, and therefore, you know, they trust him and stuff. Obviously, Buffy never ate the food, so there's that aspect as well. Like, never ate any of his food, whereas everyone else is, like, they associate the feeling with him, and then, oh, Ted, we love Ted, we're on ecstasy. But, yeah, you know, the flip side of whether she's judging people correctly is, like, is she too suspicious? Does she look everywhere for malicious intent where it's not there, which is, you know, obviously part of this episode and it's been part of previous episodes. And, you know, is her sort of line of work, you know, open to making her too suspicious at all times? Like in the previous episode to this one, like where she like collared Oz because she was so like touchy about what was going on. But then there's also the other flip side, which is that like, even if Ted was a human, if Ted was a human and doing these crimes, you know, like drugging people and like threatening to hit someone across the face, like where does the line get drawn between like an evil human and a demon that happens to be a demon but might not be that particularly evil, if you know what I mean? Not that we've seen too many of those kind of demons, but, you know, say it's just a demon walking around, you know, living his life, being like, whatever, I, you know, I'm not talking about like angel levels of guilty good, just someone who's like not human and just hangs out. And maybe they do some weird stuff because they don't particularly have a conscience, but they're not like a full on murderer, if you know what I mean. They're just, but if they saw someone getting murdered, they might be like, meh. So that kind of person versus a really, really, really evil human being. Like, why, like, what is the value of like a human life and a human soul versus another quote unquote person who isn't actually naturally as bad as some humans have the capability to be? I'm not saying we've necessarily seen examples of that in the show yet. I'm trying to think if we have or not. But where would this come down about really terrible people acting outside the law? Like Marcy, like the girl that turned invisible, obviously she got taken in hand by the FBI or whatever the hell was making her into a spy, but she was not supernatural. She was a human girl who was having a supernatural process happen to her, kind of out of her control, but it was her own personality that was making her go around try to kill people. Like, and then, but because the supernatural process is involved, Buffy's involved. So where does the law fall down there? Like, where does the line cross between like, oh, it's a human, so I can't do anything to them, or, oh, it's a demon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this with the episode with the baseball coach, too, the Little League coach. Like, how much can Buffy actually do versus, like, you know, just putting somebody in handcuffs and that sort of thing. So I do think that's an interesting concept. And, I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm like, I'm really glad that Ted took the turn that it did, that he was a monster, but at the same time, like, he was a robot, but at the same time, he was, like, a serial killer. And so it allowed the law to kind of get Buffy off the hook, and it wasn't, like, this thing that was dangling where, you know, she definitely had reason in the eyes of particularly her mother to do what she did. I mean, still unfortunate, the idea that, okay, my child, you know, killed somebody, but, you know, he came back and obviously Joyce saw that, and it's very complicated, but I don't know. The more that I talk about it, the more I'm like, I really like the way that this episode turned out when you look at it as kind of a little peek into this more human side of Buffy's life.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It was anyone but John Ritter playing it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So it hurts you to watch him like that. Is that the problem?
It does. And I don't know why. Like, it's been a very long time since John Ritter has died.
Leo says the same thing. She's really, really attached to him.
Yeah.
Mm. He's good at it, though. He did a really good job.
Yeah, he has that voice, too. I think that's just, mm-hmm. It could be, like, really loving father or really creepy guy.
Mm. Or serial killer. Yeah.
This probably would have been the first thing I ever saw John Ritter in, so perhaps I've been associating him with evil forever.
I think maybe same for me. I'm not sure. Okay, switching gears, a little bit lighter side. Cordy and Xander take some things in new directions. Maybe not that new, considering what they've already done. But they're making out a lot. And, yeah, how do you feel about them?
They're ridiculous, both of them. Like, Xander is just, in general, ridiculous all the time. And Cordelia and her self-centeredness is ridiculous. So I personally enjoy them randomly making out in closets and then hating each other the rest of the time. Like, you know, like in front of people, they act like, you know, they can't stand each other at all. And that's all entertaining and good fun. So I'm enjoying them being ridiculous.
Brittany, are you into it?
Oh, I'm so into it. I ship them like there's no tomorrow. I love them. I think it, I just love, like, Kristen was kind of alluding to, like, the just like the push and pull of their relationship. It's like, oh, I hate you so much, want to go make out. Like, the fighting leads to them making out, and I think it's hilarious. And when they, like, try to, like, hint at things, and then, like, they kind of, like, just... But they're so good at hiding it, yet so bad at hiding it, because everybody's just so oblivious to it. It's like, there are things in closets, and I'm like, oh, they're so bad, but so good. They're good at, like, their interactions. Like, they don't, like, lock eyes or anything like that. They just, like, act normal that they hate each other.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, yeah. On the outside, nothing really has changed. On the inside, not a whole lot has changed either, because some of the things they say to each other in that closet.
Guys.
But yeah, it's pretty funny. But I actually really like, too, what Ariana has said here, in that she says, though I generally hate Xander, I'm finding I don't mind him around Cordelia because he talks to her like a human being instead of patronizing her like he does with most girls, including Buffy. And Natalie, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, too, because I particularly noticed that in these two sets of episodes.
Yeah, in Bad Eggs, one of my favorite points in Bad Eggs is that it's just Xander and Buffy that aren't affected. And I feel like the way that Xander interacts with Buffy since starting off with Cordelia has really changed. It's like he's like, when they actually, Xander and Buffy actually relate to each other without any of, like, his weird, like, aggressive flirting in the way and stuff, they work really, really well together. They're both kind of really pragmatic. They both have the same kind of humor sometimes. They share things that Buffy and Willow don't share and Buffy and Xander don't share. I think the trio, once there's sort of no romantic interest on any side, not that there might be not lingering thing, but once there's no romantic interest on any side, I think that main trio all have aspects that they share with each other that, like, sort of make kind of a perfect triangle. And I feel like that's coming out now with Xander and Buffy, the way that they interact with each other now that Xander is actually sort of mentally committed to liking someone else rather than just trying his luck with every girl who a magazine considers to be pretty, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's good that we're getting this change because the Buffy Xander thing has been dragging on for way too long. I think a lot of us agree with that, and it's nice to see a different side to him. And then lastly, we get Jenny and Giles come back together and
OTP.
Aww. It's really satisfying. Like, this is really nice.
Love them. No complaints.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does anyone disagree? I'm not sure.
And their first, like, outing back together was just so perfect. I thought it would scare Jenny off, and it didn't. It just made them stronger, especially because, like, they're putting, I mean, I loved this, you're putting, like, Giles at his, like, most vulnerable, which is when you're, like, handing him a weapon and forcing him to go kill vampires because Buffy can't do it. And I love watching him in those situations because I feel like he is still holding back a little because, you know, he has this whole dark past. But he's also just kind of, like, you find out that he was, like, a kid when all of that happened. And but you're putting him out in, like, a place where he's, like, easily spooked and he has to kill people. And then you have, like, Jenny watching this, like, adorable guy try and, like, just shove a crossbow in a duffel bag and, like, just randomly walk through a cemetery. And yeah. I think he's just so adorable. Like, there's no way that Jenny could have, like, resisted any longer.
Resisted. How about that first scene of them where she's, like, pretty flimsy excuse for coming to see me, and but then she's like, leave me alone. Like, I don't know, like, what do you think it is that makes her decide that she's actually back in the game?
I think it might have been just the fact that when she was out there with Giles, she saw, like, how he was willing to sacrifice himself and that she was stronger than she realized, I think. Because, you know, she's had this whole traumatic experience, which is understandable. She needs some time away and, you know, she's just trying to keep her distance from Giles. And at the same time, you know, now she's seeing, like, Giles, oh, he will step up for me and he will, like, you know, be my protector. And I should give him another chance because this stuff is actually pretty interesting and my life would be boring without Giles, which is odd to say, because
and then
Giles
she got
is
to
a pretty
shoot him with
person.
A crossbow as well, so that like maybe made her feel a bit better.
Yeah,
this jumps right into my favorite scene. So thanks, guys. No, just kidding. I agree with all of that, and particularly like I really, really, really like Jenny like so much. I liked her before, but on this rewatch, I really see the different layers that she has, and the fact that she's like, look, I don't want to feel guilty about being afraid. I think that's so realistic and so human. And so many of these characters put on a good game face, like even people like Xander, who is not exactly the bravest person on the show. Let's, you know, be real. I don't think anybody's really going to argue that. And yet week to week, he kind of keeps coming back and he keeps just doing what he needs to do. And Buffy's always kind of there and it doesn't necessarily affect him on this level that it's affected Jenny, and it's so interesting.
He's been
to see
in, because Xander and Willow have both been in really mortal danger on behalf of helping Buffy, like really badly. So that's true. I never thought about it like that.
And he's, you know, been possessed. He was possessed by the hyena, and yet it doesn't necessarily feel like that's affected him to the level that it's affected Jenny. I think maybe that's because she understands it a bit more.
Yeah, I was going to say that because that's actually something like profound life help here with Natalie is like, I've actually found that like, on one hand, a bunch of stuff that happens to you when you're a teenager, a bunch of stuff that happened to me when I was a teenager was like the most dramatic and like the most like felt it very deeply emotionally and all of that kind of stuff. Like that kind of stuff really, some stuff really did, you know, affect you the worst as a teenager, or heightened emotions and stuff. But then there's other stuff that happened to me when I was a teenager where I was like, if that happened to me now, I would not get out of bed for 3 weeks. But I just like, I just brushed right on by as a teenager, maybe because I was used to that level of heightened emotion, if you know what I mean. Like, and I feel like that the teens are more resilient in stuff that happens to them, whereas someone like Jenny is like thinking about like what it all means and like, you know, they don't think, oh, you know,
yeah,
Buffy's dangerous to be around or whatever. They kind of just roll with it because teens just roll with stuff or they're used to having these crazy emotions. And so they're just like, what, you know, what's a few vampires on top of that? Whereas adults who have like learned to protect themselves from the world a bit better, it's more of a shock, maybe.
I completely agree with all of that and definitely have more to say about Jenny moving forward because it's really interesting. Shout out, though, to Kristen because this was so adorable, you guys. It was the scene where Ted comes to the school and gives her the computer program.
Oh, my God.
She turned to me and said floppy disks with like such emotion in her voice that I thought she was going to cry.
How about Willow getting excited about a 9 gig hard drive?
I know.
Oh my God.
So good.
If only they knew.
So embarrassing to think about.
Like, I'm pretty sure I at one point owned the exact same floppy disks that he handed her, like the same color, the same brand, because you could see the little logo on it. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I was affected by the floppy disks.
I don't understand how she was going to install a bigger hard drive with floppy disks, though. It's like you can't download more RAM, guys. But anyway,
I have my floppy disk drive.
I do too, Brittany.
Yeah, I had these.
You
like,
guys
really
still have a floppy disk drive? Are you serious?
My mom has a drive at work, but I want her to take all my floppy disks because I have like I had these really awesome floppy disks that were like see through and they were like all these different colors and I still have some that are like labeled with like religion period two papers, and the only ones that I have that survived were my religion papers, and I'm like, what is this trying to tell me?
I still have floppy disks in my drawer that I've written stories on. They're like almost within arm's reach right now. So yeah, I don't have a drive anymore.
3.5-inch floppies, or are you talking about the bigger, like the 5-inch ones with the hole in the middle?
The 3.5.
Yeah,
3.5. Yeah, I have.
When I was in primary school, like elementary school age, I remember very vaguely the bigger ones than the 3.5. And then when I was in high school, it was getting to the 3.5 ones. And then I can't remember the first time I used the USB. I have zero memory of that crossover.
I have a USB floppy drive that you just plug it into your computer, and I can still use my floppy disks if I really want.
Oh my god.
We should open up my story and see how terrible it is some night.
When I come visit. It out. Save it when I come somewhere. Visit. I'm going to come visit just for this.
Aw. Okay.
So we're going to have a staycation. Bring it with you. That's my fun fact. Brittany and I are going to have a staycation at some point and just hang out and just watch all of the things that we both like and stuff. So you guys can come and read us your floppy disk story.
Yeah.
I will do that. All right, let's get through the rest of these. Natalie, what was your favorite scene?
I actually really liked the one where Ted comes to the school as well, like just the way they all react to him and like the way Xander's like, we always do the thing. But my actual favorite was Buffy complaining to Angel about Ted, because apparently all my favorite scenes are now Angel, which is like such an insane life change that I would have never expected in 5,000 years, but I love that, and I love that, you know, she's just sort of doting on him, and I love his apartment, his, like, weird, like, apartment that he has that you're starting to see, and him just being all cute. That was my favourite of his sort of little bit of attempts at wisdom. He's not quite as suspicious as her, but I do enjoy, you know, his irrational approach and how mm-hmm. she actually listens to him.
Yeah.
I find it very cute. I find him softening up and trying to be like a real boy and like making out and stuff. It's as opposed to being like full of angst all the time. I love him. I love him. I'm so sad I missed the episode where they were like, "How do you know this?" And he was like, "I lurk." Like,
oh,
I'm
my
so
God.
Sad.
Yeah. It was. Oh, it was beautiful. Kristen, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was pretty much anytime Xander was on screen, because he was on point with like being ridiculous in this episode. But specifically when he and Willow are at the school, like examining the cookies, and she kind of figures it out, and he's like, "Yeah, you are awesome," and like, "That might be the cookies talking, but you're still awesome." And so I really, really just enjoyed Xander in this episode.
He was pretty good. And Brittany.
My favorite scene was Buffy talking to her mom on the bench at the end, because I think it left them in a pretty good place where they were just like, all right, this happened. We're both kind of still a little traumatized by it. Let's just order some food, grab like some blankets, sit on the couch and just watch a movie. And like, I thought it brought them a little bit closer together until we get to the next episode and everything. But I did really in the moment of watching this episode, that scene really stuck out to me, and I liked it a lot.
Cool. And favorite lines, Brittany, you actually stole my favorite Giles line in this episode. Sorry. So I had to go with my second favorite, which is actually also awesome. So it's not like I'm really losing anything, but it's after Jenny accidentally shoots him and he's like, "I'm fine, you know, the advantage of layers of tweed, better than Kevlar." And it's just like, he's so aware of his tweed problem, and I just really love it. It was hilarious.
Yeah, that was my favorite, and you stole it, so it's all your fault.
Well, everyone's stealing from everyone here. Nice.
Well, what about you, Natalie?
My favorite was, well, one of them was when at the beginning, you know, Buffy's kind of bitching about her mum starting to date, and the other two are like really delighted that she's having these issues, basically, like, you know, that she has normal person problems. And Xander is like singing, "You're having parental issues, you're having parental issues." And she's like, "No, I'm not." And he's like, "Yes, you are. Freud would have said the exact same thing, except he might not have done that little dance. I just found that hilarious for whatever reason. I also, again, I agree with that every time Xander was on, amazing. Like, his delivery of a bunch of lines was so good, especially when Ted showed up at the school and he was like, "Hi, Ted. Ted, who's here right now to stop Buffy talking about him." I found that freaking hysterical.
Let's hope that this is like a continued direction for Xander.
Yeah. How is Angel? Pretend I care. He was really good this episode.
Yeah. Kristen?
Mine is when they were in the library kind of talking about how hard Buffy is taking killing Ted and like how she's handling it, and Cordelia is talking to Giles and she says, "I guess you should know since you helped raise that demon that killed that guy that time." And Giles responds, "Yes, do let's bring that up as often as possible." And I just felt so bad for Giles because it's like, shut up, Cordelia, like, don't talk anymore, just no. But it was great.
Giles and sarcasm, man.
Brittany, do you feel any similarities between Giles and Tenzin?
You know, that is a great topic that you brought up, because you weren't on our live stream, and I promised that I'm in the process of writing a new special edition rewatchable fanfic where Vacation Tenzin and Vacation Giles enjoy some conversations on hashtag the beach. So you could say that I feel a kindred spirit existing between them.
Why did I miss this? I should have put on pants.
Should have put on pants.
Okay.
All right. Wow, that was great. Okay, Brittany, what's your favorite line?
My favorite line is a couple of lines, so I cheated a little bit. But it's the conversation between Buffy and Giles, where Buffy says, "Vampires are creeps." And Giles is like, "Yes, that's why one slays them." And Buffy's like, "I mean, people are perfectly happy getting along, and then vampires come, and they run around, and they kill people, and they take over your whole house, and they start making these stupid little mini pizzas, and everyone's like, oh, look, a mini pizza. But I'm telling you, I have Buffy. I believe the subtext here is rapidly becoming a text."
And that, I just thought it was line, great. Brittany, the subtext is becoming text is like a very, like, very, very famous line for this show, like one that has made its way, at least for me and many people I know, into the general parlance, if you know what I mean, like to describe situations. And I was like, oh yeah, subtext rapidly becoming text, like that is a touchstone line for this series, in my opinion, at least.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I love that whole exchange between them. I especially love Giles's first line with like, "Yes, that's why one slays them." And it's just, I don't know, it was great. Okay, so let's jump into episode 12, Bad Eggs. Okay, so Ariana writes, "I'll be perfectly honest and admit that I, quote, watched most of this episode with the screen dimmed all the way down because those worm things were fucking disgusting. So I didn't actually see what was going on, but from what I understand via dialogue, everyone in the class had to parent some eggs that then hatched into gross insects that took over their human host. Also, Buffy's mom decided to grow a pair after her TED Talks."
That is brilliant.
That is so good. "And realized that she actually needs to begin parenting her daughter. I guess watching your child accidentally murder your fiance makes you reevaluate your life." Yes. Yes to all of that. So first thing I want to say is I'm actually surprised that a lot of you and a lot of other people that I've seen talking about it dislike Bad Eggs more than Ted. I definitely thought it was going to be the other way around. And I'm really curious why you feel that way. Because I do like Bad Eggs, but I'm me, so.
I somebody else like Tremors,
Karen.
Tremors is the best ever. And you'll never convince me otherwise.
I mean, okay. Coming into this recording, I was like, yep, Ted's the worst. Bad Eggs was, you know, it was bad, but it was much better than Ted. Coming into Bad Eggs right now at this moment, I'm like, wow, Bad Eggs was a lot worse than Ted. Which just, my opinion completely shifted in like the 40 minutes we spent talking. So, Yeah, Bad Eggs wasn't, I mean, it wasn't awful, but it wasn't great either, I think, because we brought up a lot of good points about Joyce in our last episode discussion that I think are now resonating stronger with me going into this episode's discussion. So I think that sort of is shading my opinion of it. I mean, the worms were gross, but that's just the nature of a Monster of the Week show. They hopefully will not be coming back, so I feel like I can just write this one off.
Kristen really didn't like the eggs either.
No, I did not. I was betrayed, and I'm not okay.
She fell in love with Egbert.
Egbert was so cute, and then he became a creepy monster who went into her ear, and I couldn't take it. No, I think what really makes me feel betrayed is that I love these episodes of teen dramas. I love when they all have to do parenting. Yes, I don't know why. I just find them endearing and adorable because you see these teenagers who are so self-obsessed, like having to pretend to care for something else. A lot of times they either learn something or they do something incredibly dumb and, you know, it's just hysterical or something. I get a lot of enjoyment out of these episodes. So when it started and they all got an egg, I was very excited. Stupid me paid no attention to the title of this episode and did not think about the egg becoming evil. So when Buffy's starts protruding with tentacles I was so like wronged by this episode. So
it like slaps the side of her face and like wiggles into her ear. It was
I do have a question. I thought about this when we had to watch this episode. Did anyone actually have these like parenting experiments? Because I see it all the time on TV. Like, did you guys have to do this in school?
No.
Yes. No. Maybe. I feel like a lot of the stuff that we do in, like, the stuff that we end up doing in school in Australia, like this, it only happens because students see it on American TV and then, like, beg, can't we do that? Like, I don't think that, like, it's part of the normal curriculum. I just think it's, like, something that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Catholic school, so there's no way we were going to be teen parents. That was not a possibility. So
what did you say?
I said I went to Catholic school, so there was no way we were ever going to even pretend to be teen parents. Like, that was not something that was ever going to be a part of the curriculum. Never happened. So I'm always curious to talk to people to see like what if they ever did this, because like Kristen was saying, it is one of my favorite type, like these episodes in any teenage like high school drama. I love it because I'm like, I wish I had like one of those little babies that like screamed all night and could like throw across the room, because I always
do think not when they get so that.
Frustrated and like they have to parent and then they're arguing because they're like, why didn't you take it and shove it in your locker after class? And I'm like, you know, it's just like it creates like such a melodrama and I love it so much.
I actually think that I did do this in high school, although honestly, I can't remember the details, but I vaguely remember something about maybe there was like a demonstration of the animatronic baby, or we had something that held eggs inside of it. And so, because honestly, like this is totally pointless. Like she just literally was like, okay, I'm looking at my list. Did I burp it? Yes. Like there's nothing to do with this. So I was like, this is kind of dumb.
Well, how but do you burp an egg?
Like... Exactly. Like they could just say they did it and they didn't actually do any of their assignments. But we had something, I think, that had like the egg inside of the baby or something. And I don't know. I can't remember. But I'm curious, though, is this another episode that is just bad, period? Or is it something that we just don't like the premise necessarily? Natalie, like, do you just not like the bad eggs? Or do you think it's an actual bad?
I don't love the premise. The premise is okay. I think it's quite a clever, you know, thing. Oh, yeah, eggs, and then the eggs are getting, you know, have something evil inside them. Like, you know, oh, they're eggs of a creature. That's fine. But the special effects of what the monster were both bad and gross. Therefore, I was not into watching them.
Really? Okay. Maybe I have watched Tremors one too many times because I thought they were fine.
Like, I feel like this episode doesn't necessarily do anything for the characters. Like, it doesn't really push them anywhere. Buffy and her mom have some arguments, but like fighting this monster didn't do a lot for me. Like some of the others, there was a lot of character development because of it, or we learned a lot about the Slayer or something. I think this episode, just part of the reason why it's not great, besides just being gross, is that it didn't do a lot for me for the characters.
I can see that, because in a lot of ways, and I guess this jumps into like our first main discussion point, is like, shouldn't have Buffy and Willow figured something out between Xander and Cordy? Like, shouldn't they know what's been going on? And you kind of see Willow walking that line of her being like, they're weird, like they're weirder than usual, what's going on? But it doesn't actually happen in this episode, and maybe that's a good way to set up something down the line, rather than just like, okay, all of a sudden, like, yeah, she figured it out. You know, they're letting it kind of steam a little bit. But I can see why you're saying like it didn't actually do much for the characters, because the biggest thing that happened in this episode, I think, is between Buffy and Joyce, and we've already gotten that like every other episode.
This one was really bad for Buffy and Joyce. This was like above and beyond, like, you know, you sitting there as the viewer being like, this is so unfair and stupid. Like, this is, I don't know, like her, the way that she reacts to this is just not good.
Yeah, Joyce is completely unrealistic in this episode. Like, her demands of Buffy are ridiculous, and her inability to understand why Buffy wasn't in the library when it's basically, like, hitting Joyce in the face is,
like, the fact, you know, that it just, she just gets, like that immediately, like, you know, as soon as Buffy says, I didn't get there, like, I was on my way there, and then it's such a dick move, like, it's such a... Yeah. You know, as soon as she ignores the entire situation, like, you know, she ignores the entire situation that she's clearly just been brainwashed. So she's saying Buffy should have been in the library during the gas leak. And, you know, Buffy, she's just not taking into account that there was like a panic and that she'd run somewhere else. And she's like, no, you didn't do that exact one thing in the middle of an emergency. You're just, you know, nothing else matters right now. Like, just the way she like cuts her off and stuff, like, it's just freaking vile, and I just it's the worst.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
yeah, I really dislike it too. Brittany, do you think that Buffy will ever tell her mom that she's the Slayer? Like, are you hoping for this? Because clearly she keeps coming up against this issue, and it's getting really frustrating as audience members.
Yeah, I want her to tell her, just because, like I was saying about the last episode, I just think it would put them in a better place. And I think Joyce can handle it. Like, it would just, I feel like a wave of, like, relief would wash over Joyce, being like, this explains everything. Like, I get it now. And I think,
like, even, like, why didn't you get my dress in time, you know? Yeah. Oh, because a vampire attacked me.
Exactly. And like, she just is constantly disappointing her mother, and she doesn't want to. And I think it would just take an enormous amount of pressure off of Buffy as well. And it's hard to watch, like, this one relationship that should be a great relationship just constantly hit a brick wall because of this one secret. And I just think the show, it's great for the show right now because it's driving a lot of tension, but it's also very frustrating because we can't, like, there's no way around this without her revealing that she's a Slayer. I mean, I'm really frustrated by it constantly, and I hope either the focus goes off of this and it's just a thing that exists, like, you know, like, we know we've seen it and we can move on from it because it's never going to happen, or she just tells her, because I just don't want to sit through these plot lines over and over again, even though it is something that's constantly on Buffy's mind.
Yeah. Do any of you guys think that if Buffy were to tell her mother, that it would change things? Or do you think Joyce would be even more protective of her?
She'd be like, no, Buffy, you're grounded. You can't go out and slay vampires tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To keep her safe. I mean,
yeah.
I could see it happening, honestly.
I have this really bad feeling that if she just flat out told Joyce, I don't think Joyce would believe her. Even if she tried to prove it in some way, I don't think Joyce would would do much with it. She just assumed that Buffy was trying to get out of something because that's how she's decided to treat Buffy. I have this really bad feeling that coming up very soon, Joyce is going to become the thing that the vampires take, and Buffy is going to have to save her, and Joyce is going to see it, and it's going to be more than just school hard. It's going to be, she is going to see something that will forever make her, like, understanding. I feel like that's the only way to salvage Buffy and Joyce's relationship at this point.
Yeah.
Joyce needs to see it and not be able to deny what happened and how awesome Buffy was.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being something that happens, in addition to, like, what you were saying earlier, that scene in the mall, like, where she's like, oh, I don't know, just killing vampires, like you said, like, she would probably just take it as, like, a joke and, like, what are you even talking about? Like, you need to go see, like, talk to somebody who's not me, like, a professional, and, like, might just lock her up for some, like, you know, in her little ivory tower to protect her. But yeah, I definitely think that's going to be the breaking point, is Joyce is going to be put in some sort of mortal danger, and Buffy is going to have to, like, you know, save the day, and we're going to have to watch that, and then we're going to have to deal with the fallout.
Yeah, and no comments necessary from the superfans, because I know that's really hard, but I, you know, like, I just, it's something I can feel coming. It's not unheard of for shows like this. I mean, Smallville, Clark had, like, the biggest secret ever, and anytime someone needed to find out, they almost always got kidnapped, saw him do something, and then he had to help and, like, explain it, and yeah. So I'm very much expecting that to come. If it doesn't, you know, that'll be interesting all in its own way, but I'm just kind of expecting it now.
Yeah. Switching gears just a little bit, one of the things that I actually did like about this episode a lot were the couple of twists that we got, in that Willow became, I don't know if possessed is the right word, taken over, and Cordy and Giles, and it's like you really weren't expecting it because they retained their personality in a lot of ways until it was like, okay, time to knock you out now. And that was like, even on rewatch, I had kind of forgotten, especially Giles. And I was like, oh no, this is so terrible.
That was gross. He just
even
reaches,
when she comes and... Yeah, when
Joyce's neck.
And yeah, when he comes and he has that normal conversation with her, like, oh, yes, yes, just a hobby that has nothing to do with Buffy at all. And he's still kind of himself and stuff. And then it kind of just, like, activates and
Yeah, just was basically it.
Mm. The worms were pretty gross. I think we can all agree. I mean, I thought they were kind of cool. But
Xander's boiled one was the worst.
He almost ate it.
I was like, no, turn it off, turn it off.
I love the way that he freaked out and, like, fell off the bench, though. That was really funny.
And, like, screamed, like,
Yeah. And he didn't want to touch it, and Willow was all like, I'll just do it. I mean, she was possessed at that point, too. But that was a very Willow thing to do. Just be like, fine, give it to me. Okay, so I guess before we get to the main part, well, I guess it happens in there, is that we also do have those two vampires, the, like, cowboy vampires in this episode, which is really interesting because, Natalie, I know, like, you specifically have talked before about some vampires kind of retaining more of their personality, and it's like you don't really like these guys because they're vampires. That's what I mean. Like, you don't want to like them because they're vampires and they're bad, but at the same time, like, when the one brother was fighting side by side with Buffy, at the end, I was like, this is cool. I really actually like seeing them.
Have, like, a common goal.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I love the way they talk, like, during it. And he's like, ain't that Angelus? Why is he near to making me blush? Like, I just loved it. I like it when the vampires are, like, people. Like, I think it adds an element to the show that adds into the kind of, okay, how responsible are they for their actions? Like, how much, you know, how much personhood do they have? What does a soul actually mean versus having a personality and stuff like that? Like, I love them. So I enjoy these guys a lot.
Because you end up getting a lot of vampires that are just, you know, fodder for Buffy to kill, and you don't know anything about them. But once in a while, when they do bring out some with like an actual story and you kind of realize their purpose, it does add another element. And even in the end there, I liked that, like, they'd fight side by side and then, you know, there'd be a lull in the fighting against the other people and they would fight each other. And it was kind of funny to see that happen.
I really did enjoy them. I just enjoy having those basically happen more often because, yeah, the personality question is a big one for me. Maybe it's like the longer, if you become a vampire, like you're immediately kind of like, oh my God, I'm a vampire. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, I'm, you know, I've got this bloodlust, but once I've been one for a while, maybe they like can like regain more of their own like brain and personality and stuff once they get overcome the initial like, bloodlust, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense because these ones were a little bit older and it was good. And then we have the gas leak, quote unquote, and Ariana is very upset about this gas leak and the idea that people just kind of keep falling for this. I honestly don't remember if we continue to get this kind of excuse throughout the show, like specifically ahead, but it does seem like something that just tends to happen a lot in supernatural shows. Be like, oh, yeah, you know, gas leak.
Made people hallucinate. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well,
I think they used it in Men in Black.
Yeah, it's very much like the person hits their head and has amnesia, but they're not affected in any other way. Like, they have no other deficits. That happens a lot in, like, supernatural TV. Like, the number of times Elena Gilbert has hit her head on The Vampire Diaries, like, she should be in a coma and dead somewhere. You know, like, way earlier in the show because she has a lot of head trauma. So, you know, it's one of those things that you just, they have to have an explanation, and a gas leak, you can't see it, there's no sign of it. So, yeah, it's a gas leak. Just easy.
I mean, there was a giant, like, monster there. Maybe it went away. I don't know. Gas leak. That was also a gas leak. It clogged and
How about the one that Principal Snyder said he was like with in School Hard, he was like, oh yeah, use the gangs on PHP excuse again. So Oh god.
Yeah, that was interesting. All right, well, that moves us into our favorite scenes and lines for this episode. Mine, as much as I actually did like this episode, it was hard for me to pick a scene that like really, really stuck out to me. But I really liked Buffy crawling up out of the Bezoar after she killed it like a Banff, because she was covered in all this gook and like he's standing, the one vampire standing near the edge, like, I kind of don't want to look over, but I need to see what's down there. And she like throws up an axe or something like that. And she just comes out and he like runs away. And that was just really great.
That was actually the one I wanted as well. Just her image of her climbing out of the thing. I think it was a really powerful image. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Can I just say, not particularly related to this, but in these two episodes, there were a good handful of lines which, purposeful or not, whether it was intended at the time with a further plan or whether it was not intended at the time and then it's just beautiful coincidence, there is some foreshadowing for some big things in these couple of episodes that would be, I'm not going to say what they are, but I this week more than in the past, I noticed some stuff that was like, oh, that's got more meaning now that I've seen the whole series. So that's just something to think about. I'm not sure what you want to look out for there, but yeah.
I might need you to tell me, because I've noticed before in the show, like some things that are like, oh, that is, you know, maybe they didn't plant it this early on, but it came to fruition anyway, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, but either just coincidence or not, and it just hits harder now hearing it. Yeah,
yeah. So you might have to tell me some of the ones. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, yeah. What was your favorite scene for this one?
Well, besides from all of Buffy and Xander working together, which I said earlier, like without that aspect of him constantly like giving her the wrong advice because he, you know, wants to bang her. The way that they interacted in this, well, it's true. Like lots of times he'd be like, oh no, don't do this. But it wouldn't be for her own good. It would be for his own good, if you know what I mean. You know, usually involving Angel, but sometimes just cause he sucks. But now that that's sort of out of the way, I really enjoyed them being the two to work on this together. But my favorite actual scene was Buffy and Angel kissing through her window because she has not left her room due to being grounded, and I thought it was really cute, though I did wonder if anyone walking by would notice this guy hanging off the side of the house. Like, but I just, they're in such a good and happy place of, like, Angel is, like, found his chill about being okay with this and not being, like, full of, like, misery and pain, and he's sort of just embracing this relationship, and I, you know, he smiles and he's, you know, easily delighted, and I've just found it very sweet, and I still can't believe I'm saying these things about Angel, but I've been so wrong my whole life, apparently, or just not had the processing skills to understand, or maybe I'm making more of it than it is. Maybe he was not meant to be as awesome as he is, but just the way that we interpret characters in this day and age has changed.
That's very true, I think. I mean, a lot of things are shifting for me as well, but I think that's part of the best, you know, thing with Rewatchable is that it's really exciting for the newbies, but it's also exciting for the super fans because we tend to change our opinions too upon rewatch and talking it out and everything. Like the episode Ted, which we kind of all didn't hate after all, which blows my mind because I mean, I was not looking forward to it.
But
yes.
Like, did I hate Ted or did I hate Ted in, you know, quotation marks, episode title?
Right.
Like, did I hate Ted the man or Ted the episode? And
yeah.
I don't know.
It's a life question. Kristen, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when Egbert was cute. And anything anything before Egbert stopped being cute. Like, the rest of the beginning of the episode was fine. And then he grew tentacles and I felt betrayed. So, yeah, that was really cute seeing Buffy, like, make him a little bed and be a really good egg mom. It was cute.
Egbert is waiting for you on my desk. I'm pretty sure I saw it move.
Ah, yeah. Throw it out the window.
How can an egg be that cute? It's an egg.
It was in the cute little bed.
And she was being a cute single mom for her egg, and it was just really sweet.
She named him Egbert. It was great.
She named him. Come on.
Brittany, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was Giles and Joyce kind of talking about parenting.
Yes.
I just liked that interaction, especially because we don't get to see Joyce while we saw her talk to Ted, but we don't really get to see her interact with, like, you know, adults that much. So unless she's like yelling or in like a room where vampires are attacking, you know, so it was just kind of nice to see that those two talk because they're both such strong parental figures in Buffy's life.
Yeah, I purposely didn't bring this up during the discussion because I saw that you had it down here and I really wanted to make sure you got to talk about it because it was a great scene. And I just particularly I love Giles's side of it because he's like, yeah, you know, sometimes I feel like she's my kid, too. And it's really frustrating. But you know what? She's a good person. And I like that he kind of knew what was going on in her life and was able to tell her mother that, although is it negated because he had this big blood-sucking thing on his back? We don't know.
I think so. Mm. I don't know.
I would hope not. Favorite lines. Mine is just really random because I thought it was hilarious when Xander was like, I think Cordy hits him and he goes, ow, that was my bump. And I didn't catch it at first and then realized what he said and was like, oh, that is so funny. Natalie?
While I did appreciate the entire conversation leading up to the quote that Brittany picked about, which you'll get to in a second, like, you know, but the whole thing where Buffy gets her egg and is like, as punishments go, this is fairly abstract, and that Willow's going to teach her egg the dreidel song. My favorite was actually when Buffy comes rushing up to Cordelia and asks, like, if her egg's been anything weird, and she goes, it's an egg, Buffy. It doesn't emote, because I just love Cordelia and how weird that she thinks Buffy is. Like, she's like, what the hell is wrong with this girl? Like, by now, yes, Cordelia is super willing to help and, like, is super willing to kind of raise suspicion. You know, like, she knows about the supernatural and she's always like, you know, what can I do to help? She is actually involved as much as she can possibly be, which is kind of cool. But I still love that she's like, my God, these people are weird. Like, and it's, I just found that fantastic.
I feel like this quote was perfect for you given the conversation we literally just had with Kristen being like, the egg cute, and you're like, it's an egg.
It's an egg, Kristen. It doesn't emote.
It's very apropos. Yes, very much so.
And what was your favorite line, Kristen?
My favorite line was basically, I laughed so hard. Karen was a witness to this. It's in that very first scene where they're getting their eggs from Mr. Whitmore. And Mr. Whitmore says, "How many of us have lost countless productive hours plagued by unwanted sexual thoughts and feelings?" And Xander goes, "Yes, mm-hmm." Like, you know, like praise. And Mr. Whitmore responds, "That was a rhetorical question, Mr. Harrison, not a poll." And I lost it. Like, it was so good, and the way that Whitmore just like shut Xander down was just amazing.
And Brittany?
So my favorite line was when Buffy was talking about how she can't take care of anything, and she was just like, "I can't do this. I can't take care of things. I killed my Gigapet. Literally, I sat on it and it broke." Which, you know, that was Tamagotchi, like, years were the most stressful of my life. I was so concerned about my Tamagotchi all the time, and it always died when I was in school, and it just brought back a lot of bad memories. Both of these episodes brought back a lot of bad childhood memories. Oh. John Ritter dying, killing my Gigapet. It was a rough roller coaster.
I had a Gigapet koala, so yeah.
I just remember going to Toys R Us and digging through the bins trying to find the one you wanted, and oh man, that was times were so simple back then.
They were. Wow. And now we're podcasting about them. Yeah, that's, I agree though. Gigapets. They were definitely a thing. Okay, contact info. Once again, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperbole.com or any other relevant Buffy posts. And you can find us on rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. If you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then Karen will mother you with love. This seems like not a good thing.
Are you going to mother us like Buffy mothered Egbert, or are you going to mother us like Joyce mothers Buffy?
Well, considering Buffy actually killed her young with a pair of scissors, I'm going to go with Joyce on this one.
Oh, great.
All right, so listener feedback we're going to read from Twitter right now. And Natalie, would you like to take the first one?
Oh, I mean, okay, I don't know if I agree with this, but Shauna Evans at NickLove128 says, "Buffy is the worst character on her own show, definitely." This is sort of an opinion that people have about most main franchises, where they're like, yeah, the lead character is no one's real favorite, and yes, Brittany, I was getting there, is no one's real favorite, and like, you know, it's not really, no one really cares about them. It's, you know, about all the side characters. And you have shows where that might be true, like Legend of Korra, for example, some people might say. And then you have franchises like Harry Potter, where it's kind of an unfair call, like to say that, like, because no one really says, oh, yeah, my favorite character is the main protagonist. Like, we've talked about this issue before. Like, it's something that's very common. You know, so do you think that Buffy is more of a Harry Potter situation or Buffy is more of a Legend of Korra situation, you guys?
Oh,
I'd say Harry Potter.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I love Buffy. I really do. I think she makes terrible decisions sometimes, but I also think that's realistic. She's a teenager. She's meant to be relatable in that way. If she were perfect, then I think it would get pretty boring.
Yeah, like, in my first read-through of Order of the Phoenix, I wanted to throttle Harry for most of the book, so...
I mean, I think he's meant to be like that.
Yeah, that's why it's my favorite book, is because I'm just so frustrated with him.
Exactly, and I think Buffy is the same way. Like, you're not always on her side. You're not always seeing things through her, you know, through the way she is, and that's exactly how you're supposed to. Like, she's the main character, but she's flawed, too. So, yeah, I definitely think she's more Harry than Korra, although I don't know Korra, so yeah.
We'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there.
Someday.
Brittany, you want to take this next one?
So our next comment comes from Tucker Conley at Tucker Ross Con, who says, as a super fan, I was dreading those episodes. I promise, though, things will get better in the next episodes. And this was in response to a couple of our hosts tweeting about how bad these two episodes are. Yeah, so good. Things are getting better. I'm excited to dive in after this.
Things can only get better. Sorry.
That was beautiful.
If I can be triggered by a song in any way, I will be, always. So.
Me too. Have you ever met Kristen?
Yes, yes, me too. I sing whenever a line gets me
could
there.
Could be a song sing. In any way, yeah.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
It is pretty entertaining, though, I will say. And then, Kristen, will you get this third one?
Sure. Gordon at Toonie Chopperman says, well, Bad Eggs was just bad and gross and ugh and blah. And all other manner of expletives. And then we have some lovely emojis. I believe it's a toilet and then a radioactive symbol and then a skull of crossbones. So,
oh my God. Yes,
I completely agree, Gordon. Bad Eggs was just, yeah, nah, every bit of that.
I love, too, like, the reactions that they have when, like, Buffy's like, and I'll raise you, and that was pretty great. Also, that radioactive sign kind of looks like a pumpkin.
It does a little. I was like, is that a jack? No, not a jack.
Is it a pumpkin? Is it radioactive waste? Who knows?
Yes.
And then our last tweet comes from Anna Has Bad Juju at Styles Bad Juju. Aw, I like that.
Yeah, she's not another team of podcast fans.
Yeah, I definitely recognize the name. So hi, Anna. Thank you for listening to us over here as well. She tweeted me and Rewatchable and said, nothing can make Ted better. It is clearly a masterpiece of an episode. Obvious sarcasm, but I'm really interested after listeners hear what we
maybe
had to
that
say
wasn't
about Ted.
Maybe that wasn't a sarcasm. Maybe that was a non-sarcasm, as in, like, there's no improving on it because it's so perfect. Maybe that was her genuine opinion.
The little, like, smiley face at the end makes me feel like it was
passive aggressive emoji, maybe.
Yeah, but no, I really would like, you know, listeners, write in, let us know if your opinions of Ted has changed after listening to what we had to say about it, because clearly we've kind of come around to it, and I think that's pretty cool. Okay, well, that wraps it up for us this week, and we will see you again next week, and got some pretty good stuff coming up here. So I'm going to sign off like Ariana has started signing off, because I think this is the best thing ever. So best wishes and vampire kisses. I'm Karen.
Ah, what is that?
That was a brilliant reaction.
Oh, God. All right. I'm Natalie. Still Natalie. I'm not saying that.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Brittany.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
No comments necessary. It's just a feeling.
Oh, hang on, robot. You sound
Ted
like a
is
robot.
Taking over the podcast.
Ted, not Ted.
Try that again without Ted.
Ted is gone. No. That was me being funny.